Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Can y'all give your pastor a hand clap? Doesn't he do a great job? Man, it is a privilege to have a pastor for the heart of God. You know, I travel all over the country and speak in all different types of churches, and it's interesting how not all pastors, just because they're pastors, don't necessarily mean that they have a heart for God and for people. And so it's a privilege, and I want to encourage you not to just don't forget the gift that God's given you, you know, in your man and woman of God, and because we need people going ahead of us, right? And so are you ready to get in the Word tonight? Are you ready to grow, ready to become? Sure good to see y'all again. We've been a lot of places since last Tuesday, but it's good to be back here, and let's get into the Word. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. And once again, if you would, take notes, please. Write down the Scriptures that you hear me to refer to. I'll have you turn to some of them. Some of them I'll just refer to. But I want you to be able to go back and put your eyes on the Word of God, because it's not man's opinion or man's philosophy that has power. It is the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the Word of God is the power of God. So if you want to walk in the power of God, it's very important that you're living the Word of God. And salvation just doesn't mean for eternity. Salvation means healing and soundness and provision and all that God has. And so the Word of God is the power of God. Say that with me. The Word of God is the power of God. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, I'm going to read out of the Amplified translation. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and His glory shall be seen on you, and nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Verse 1, arise, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. You know, the Spirit of God, just like Pastor Dennis said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Just not what He said, but what He's saying. You know, the Spirit of God is still speaking today. Amen. And He's speaking in here to each and every one of us. You know, I'm believing God that no matter where you're at or what you're going through, that you have answers tonight that come up in your heart exactly where you're at and what you're going through. And just arise. The thing that I know the Lord's wanting us to discuss tonight is the importance of being aware and awakening. Because when we're aware of God and aware of ourselves, then there's an awakening that takes place on the inside of us. So if we're not aware and of God, or not aware of what God has placed on the inside of us, we just keep living life as usual, and God is saying, arise. No matter what you've gone through, arise. And we've got to arise in our thinking before we arise out here in our life. Remember what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 said. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In the Amplified, it says, change your thinking, have new ideas, have a new thought, because a new thought leads to a new life. So if I want to keep living the life that I'm living, then I keep thinking the way that I'm thinking. But if I want to arise, I've got to first and foremost arise in my thinking. Remember in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and the pool of Bethesda, and it says, at this pool there were crippled, and some were blind, and some were paralyzed, and some were lamed, and some were maimed. And at a certain season, the angel would come down and he would stir the water. Remember that story? And the first person to get into the water was miraculously healed. And Jesus, the Bible says that he knew that this man had been in this condition for 38 years. He knew that he had been in this condition for 38 years. And Jesus came to him and he asked him, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? And instantly this guy started making excuses. Well, every time I go to get in, this person comes before me. And Jesus was trying to get him to arise on the inside so he could arise on the outside. And Jesus spoke to him and he says, first and foremost, he asked him, do you want it? How much do you want being everything God has called and created you to be? How much church do we want each and every one of us growing and fulfilling what God has placed on the inside of us? How much do we want to hear the voice of God, to know the heartbeat of God? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." How hungry are you to walk in God's plan and God's will and God's destiny and God's purpose for your life? How hungry are you? Because your hunger is going to determine how far you go. If you're not hungry, you won't go very far. If you're not hungry to think on a new level, you won't stretch to think new thoughts. If you're not hungry for the heartbeat of God, you won't get in to what expresses God's heart, and that is His Word. How hungry are you? And Jesus looked at this man at the pool that had been in that condition 38 years, and He says, "Do you want to be made whole?" And He said, "Get up, rise, take up your bed and walk." Rise. He spoke to his spirit man first for him to get up on the inside, and He says, "Now see yourself walking on the outside." And He said, then he took up his bed and he walked, and instantly he was made whole. Because he rose on the inside, and then he rose in his thinking, and then he rose physically. Arise. Look at your neighbor and say, arise. So God wants us to be aware, and God wants us to be awake. And in order for us to be aware of ourselves, it first starts in our relationship with God, of being aware of His character and His nature. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Aware and awaken. Lord, help us be aware of You, aware of ourselves, aware of our gifts, aware of our talents, aware of our passions, aware of our callings, and awaken. I'm believing that things are going to awaken on the inside of you. Matthew 22, verse 35, "And one of their number, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. He says, 'Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important, and the principal kind in the law? Some commandments are light, which are heavy.' And He replied to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and most important principle and first commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets.'" So if I'm going to become aware of God, He says the most important thing is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He said the second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And He says, and all the law and the prophets, all of them hang on these two commandments, loving God and loving people as you love yourself. So if I want to become aware of God, He's saying, okay, do this, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, you can just write this down, and it says, "Those who are in the process of knowing their God, they will do great exploits." Now, we know the word exploits, it means great feat, but also one of the meanings of the word exploits is of full use. Now, think with me for a moment. So if I want to become aware of God and aware of myself, because how many of you want to be all that God has called and created you to be? What is it going to take? It's going to take awareness. In order for me to awake, it's going to take me being aware. If I'm not aware of God and not aware of myself, then I'm not going to live awake. And God is saying, arise. Well, how do I arise? By becoming aware of God and aware of what God has placed on the inside of me, aware of what God has called and created me to do, aware of my strengths, aware of my passions, aware of my destiny, aware of God, what God has placed on the inside of me. So if I want to awake, I've got to be aware. And in order for me to be aware, it's a must that I'm in the process of knowing God, loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it said, when I know God, I'm going to do great exploits. One of the definitions of the word exploits is of full use. Of full use. So it says, when I know God, now I can be of full use. When I know God, I'm going to say it again because I want you to wrap your heart and mind around it. When I'm in the process of knowing God, now I position myself to be in full use. my gifts to be in full use, my passions to be in full use, my graces to be in full use, my thinking to be in full use, my heart to be in full use, my hands to be in full use. Those who know their God will do great exploits. They will be in a position where they can be of full use. Now, you can't change your value, but you can determine whether how much God uses you or not. And God says, if you'll stay in the process of knowing me, you will be in full use. You will be in a position to be in full use. I want God to flow to each and every one of us and to flow through each and every one of us. So how do I become aware? See, there are different types of people in here. Please write this down. There's the person in here that doesn't know where they're going. They don't know who they are. They don't know their purpose. They don't know their destiny. And so they drift here and they dabble a little bit in this and they dabble a little bit in this and they go here and they try this and they try that. And so they don't know where they're going. And since they don't know where they're going, they never know when they're going to get there. The second type of person is the person who knows where they want to go, but they're not willing to do what they know they should do. They're not willing to learn. They're not willing to grow. They're not willing to sacrifice. They're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid of changing course to pursue their passion. And so this person lives frustrated day in and day out because remember the gap from where we're at to where we want to be is what? It's growth. And because they know what they should be doing, but they don't have the willingness to do it, they live their whole life frustrated. Third type of person is a person who knows who they are. They know where they're going. They are in the process of knowing their God. They have a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny. They have a sense of passion about them. Which person can you relate with? The person who doesn't know where they're going and they dabble and they drift and they're confused and there's no sense of purpose, there's no sense of destiny? Or are you the person who knows where you want to go, where you feel like God has placed something in your heart, but you're not willing to take the risk, you're not willing to take the step? Or are you the person who's in the process of, yes, you know God and you are aware of what God has placed on the inside of you, therefore you are awakened and you are going somewhere and you're making a difference for the glory of God? So in order for us to grow, we've got to know. To know myself is very important in order to grow myself. But on the other hand, to grow myself, I've got to be in the process of knowing myself. Because if I don't know myself, then I won't grow myself. But if I'm in the process of growing, then I know not only about God, but I know things about myself. So therefore, I'm growing. And in the process of growth, you find your passion, you find your purpose, you find your strengths, you find your gifts, you find your talent. You have a realization that you're made for more than what you're walking in right now, that God had a plan and a purpose for your life. Whenever you showed up on this earth, it didn't surprise God. There was an assignment, there was a destiny before you ever showed up, and you have the answers on the inside of you to bring God's dream to pass on this earth. But are you aware of it? Because if you're not aware, you won't awaken, and therefore you simply exist. So let's ask ourselves some questions as far as discovering our passions and discovering our purpose. I want you to think with me, because have you noticed whenever you talk to God, a lot of times He comes back in question form. And why does He do that? Because questions release potential. Questions release potential. Potential is something that you could think, but you're not thinking that way yet. You could be, but you're not doing it yet. You could visualize, but you're not doing it yet. You could imagine, but you're not doing it yet. Potential is something that you are, but you're just not aware of it yet. God wants us to be aware, because whenever we're aware, then we awaken. Say, I want to be aware. Say, I want to be awake. So in order for us to find our gifts and to find our passions, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. The word heartily means in the Greek that you do it until you're out of breath. Have you ever worked out? Have you ever ran? Have you ever done something until you're trying to gasp for air? You're trying to get your air? It says, whatever you find to do, do it heartily, in other words, do it until there's nothing left in your tank to do anymore as unto the Lord. So in order to find your passion, it's very important to first and foremost to be aware, to find my passion and to find my purpose. Please write this down. One of the first steps in finding my passion and finding my purpose is being aware. Being aware of where I'm at in order to locate where God wants me to go. Have you ever gone to the mall and you go into the big sign and you walk in and you're wanting to get somewhere, but you go and you find on that little map, you are here? See, in order to find this certain store, you've got to find out where you are. Or how about if you have an app, the Maps app on your phone, you type it up and it says current location. In other words, you are here. And you type in the destination. This is where you want to go. But and then you look at the map and along the way, you've got to make a turn here and a turn here and an exit here and pay a toll here. And there's construction here and the traffic is backed up right here. But if you don't know where you are and you don't know where you want to go, a lot of times you will get lost. So how do I find my purpose and how do I find my passion? First and foremost, it takes being aware. Aware of the way that I think. Aware of what God has placed on the inside of me. Aware of where do I want to go? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Who has God created you to be? Then as you begin to be in the process of knowing God and knowing yourself, the second thing about change is accepting. Accepting the gifts. Accepting the responsibility. Remember responsibility, responding with the ability God has given me. Accepting who I am in Christ. Accepting the way that God looks at me. Accepting the graces and the gifts that God has placed on the inside of me. Accepting. So am I aware and am I accepting? Because a lot of times we're not aware and we don't want to accept what God has given us. And so we want you to do it and you to do it and you to do it and you do this and you do that instead of who am I and here I am and this is where God wants me to be. And so I accept my part in the body of Christ. I accept my part on this planet. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, you make the tree good and the fruit good, or you either make the tree bad and the fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, he's saying, take responsibility for what God has placed on the inside of you. Church, let's take responsibility for our gifts, for our talents, for our dreams. Have you taken responsibility for who God has called and created you to be? Have you taken responsibility for your assignment on this earth? Have you taken responsibility, first and foremost, of your relationship with God? Because nobody on this earth has the power to tell you what you're created for except God. But have you taken responsibility of what He's going to show you and then accepting what He shows you? That you're not me, I'm not you, you're not you, and you're not you, and you're not you, and you're not you, you're you. But you've got to be in the process of knowing Him and being in the process of knowing you, because when you're aware that God has other people on His mind and He's wired you the way that you're wired because He wants to use you, flow to you and through you to reach the people around you, you become aware of that. Well, then you accept why He's wired you the way that you're wired. You accept why He's gifted you the way that you're gifted. So how do we begin to discover our passion and discover our purpose? It's becoming aware, because in order for me to grow myself, I've got to know myself. Well, how do I know myself? By knowing the one who created me. And if I'm in the process of knowing the one who created me, He says, then I will be of full use. How can I be of full use? Because I'm aware of the gifts and talents and passions and dreams and graces upon my life. And we accept it and we take responsibility. Say, take responsibility. Today's society don't like that very much. But we're the church of Jesus Christ and we are created to do great exploits, great feats, but yes, be of full use to this world, because God has other people on His mind. So I want to ask you a few questions. So please write these questions down, because questions release potential. Questions get us to thinking. Questions bring awareness. Do you like what you're doing right now? Do you like what you're doing right now? And if not, you need to examine why. Examine why. Why don't you like what you're doing right now? Will there be risk in change? Yeah. There's risk and change. Faith is not the elimination of a risk. Faith is not the elimination of a risk. But what faith does is give you an assurance. Even though it looks risky out here, you have a knowing in here. But once again, in order to grow, I've got to know. And once I know some things, then I can grow. I'm in the process of knowing God and knowing myself and knowing the gifts. Because see, your passion for growth will lead to your growth. And your growth will lead to your passions. But you've got to make a decision. I'm going to grow on purpose first. And as I grow, it will lead you to your passion. And once you locate your passion, it'll lead to your growth. See, they work simultaneously. Is there a risk in making a change? Yeah, you could have to take a pay cut for a certain season. You could, the economy could do something. It could stretch you. You could have to learn something new. But you know what? There's a risk you staying right where you're at. And so I've got to ask myself, am I willing to take the risk of change, or am I willing to take the risk that I get to the end of my life and I feel unfulfilled? Or how about the risk of getting to the end of my life and I'm full of regret? So, do you like what you're doing right now? Please think. Second question, what would you like to do? What would you like to do? What are those desires that God has placed on the inside of you? What are those passions that God has placed on the inside of you? Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, never lagging in zeal, or synonym for zeal is passion. Never lagging in passion, but serving the Lord. Because there's a connection between you fulfilling your purpose and destiny and your passion, because you can never fulfill your destiny doing something you despise. Please hear me. We can never fulfill our destiny doing work that we despise. So what would you like to do? What is your passion? Because if you become passionate about God, see, passion energizes everything about you. Whenever you find your passion and the E factor comes into play, there's energy, there's excitement, there's enthusiasm, there's emotion, there's intensity, which that's an I, but we can throw it in there, right? There's things that come alive on the inside of you. Passion always energizes your relationship with God. It energizes your gifts. It energizes the way that you think. It gives you a supernatural energy. A person with passion is so much more productive than 99 other people with just interest. People that are just interested in doing this. I'm just interested in fulfilling my destiny. I'm just interested in the organization blossoming. I'm just interested in becoming maybe a little bit better. But a person that has found their passion, that they're passionate about God, they're passionate about being everything God has called and created them to be, nobody can stop that person. Why? Because passion, it brings energy. It brings excitement. It brings enthusiasm. It brings emotion. So how do I find my passion? Learn to look into your heart. Learn to look into your heart. Not your head, but your heart. Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. In the Lord, you're in the process of knowing the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, there's an exchange there. Desire is always an offspring of delighting. He says, the desires, because this is a question I hear a lot from people, and it's a question I had of myself. Well, what about if the desires of my heart aren't of God? And I was out watering the horses one day, and the Lord showed me this big water trough, and I had the water hose in the water trough, and have you ever ran it over just to flush out all the moss and all the junk and stuff that's in the water trough? He says, Trey, if you'll keep my word flowing in your heart, just like this water hose is flowing into this water trough, he says, I'm going to push out all the desires that are not of me. You just keep delighting, and I'll keep giving. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, he gives us the parable of the vine and the branches. And it says the same life flow that's in the vine is going to be the same life flow that's in the branches. He says your job is just to abide. Your job is just to dwell. Your job is just to hang on. See, a branch just hangs on
to the vine and the life. See, fruit is just excess life. Fruit, there's so much life inside the branch and there's so much life inside the vine that it has to go somewhere, so it comes out in the form of fruit. And he's saying, if you'll just hang on to me, it says, these are my disciples, those who bear fruit. Whenever we bear fruit, my Father is glorified. Well, how do I get to bear fruit of the Word of God? I don't want this to be a good storybook. I don't want to read about it in just somebody else's life. I want it to be my life. I want to experience it. I want to walk with God. I want, when I see it in the Word of God, I want to see it in my life. How does that happen? By abiding. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. He's saying, abide, hang on, seek, dwell, keep the water hose in the water trough. He says, and fruit's coming, life's coming. So what would you like to do? What are you created to do? What are you passionate about? How do I find my passion? Not what my mom says, my dad says, grandma says, grandpa says, because when it comes down to it, you've got to look in your what? In your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, it says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. The word guard's a military term. And it's saying you've got to be aggressive about guarding your heart, because what you watch and what you hear and what you read and what you see, it eventually gets into your heart. And the enemy is after your heart. And at some point in time, you've got to make a decision. The devil can't have my heart. My heart belongs to God. And out of my heart, I'm staying connected to Him. I'm dwelling, I'm seeking, I'm abiding, I'm hanging on to Him. And because of that, out of my heart's going to flow the issues of life. Out of my heart's going to flow the will of God. Out of my heart's going to flow the passion, the plan, the dream, the destiny of God. It's going to flow the will of God out of my heart. But I've got to keep filling my heart. And as I'm aware of God and I'm aware of what He puts inside of me, my awareness brings an awakening. And once I'm awake, you begin to step out and do things that everybody else tells you don't do, like Peter stepping out. Matthew chapter 14, when Peter stepped out of the boat and the winds and the waves and everything else is crashing around, and the disciples, they thought they knew what was best for Peter. Peter, get back in the boat. Pete, don't do it, Pete. But see, when he's passionate, when you're passionate about what God has told you, you step out when it doesn't look like you should be stepping out. Why? Because you know. See, in order for us to grow, we've got to know. We've got to be in the process of knowing God and be in the process of knowing ourselves. So we've got to ask ourselves, do I like what I'm doing? Does it bring joy? Does it bring life? Does it bring passion? And I've got to ask myself, well, what is it that I would like to do? What is it that is in my heart? Not in my head, but in my heart. What is it that's in my heart? Number three. Say, thank God for the Word. Can you do what you would like to do? Can you do what you would like to do? Because we've got to locate the difference sometimes between what we like to do and what we can do. Now, yes, I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Yes, that is truth. But you can when you know you're doing what God has called and created you to do. See, there's a difference between liking something and being good at something, and success is going to come when you're operating what you're good at. Well, how do I find out what I'm good at? By knowing God and knowing myself and knowing the passion and knowing the graces and knowing the giftings and knowing the callings. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, the gifts and the callings of God, they're irrevocable. And we've talked about this some last week. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. In other words, God is saying, I have placed a gift in you, and I have placed my grace on you. And the calling means invitation. Now I'm inviting you to be you. Because you're the only one that can be you. Nobody else can be you for you. Nobody else can develop your dream. Nobody else can develop your vision. Nobody else can develop your gift. Nobody else can develop your talent. Nobody else can hear God for you like you can hear God for you. And it says, now I've placed a gift in you, the grace on you. Now I'm inviting you to be you. But you've got to be in the process of knowing God and knowing yourself. Do you know what your passion is because passion gives you energy? Do you know what your passion is because your passion leads to growth and your growth leads to passion? And where do you find your passion and where do you find your desires? In your heart, not in your head. Well, how do I get my heart connected to God who created me? Through His Word, through praise, through prayer, through worship, by abiding, by dwelling, by seeking, by applying, by doing, by being hungry. I remember whenever I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so hungry. And I've stayed that way. Like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, My determined purpose is to know Him. I never set out to be in the ministry. I never set out, but through knowing Him, I started knowing myself and knowing what He gifted me and what He called and what He created me to do. And I remember being in college, gave my life to the Lord, and I remember being just so hungry. I would, in between classes, they had these like 2x2 rooms that were soundproof up in the library, and I'd go in the library and I would just devour the Word of God because it wasn't a game to me. It was life or death to me. And I was just so hungry. I was so passionate to know God and to know why I was here. And then I would go home and I began to discover the desires that He placed in me to be a great roper and to reach as many people as I could for the glory of God. And so I was studying the Word and I was up early in the morning and in bed late at night. And I would run around roping a goat, holding the Word in my hand because I discovered Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night that I may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then I will make my way prosperous and then I will deal wisely and have good success. And so, through the process of knowing God and knowing myself, I've discovered my gifts and I discovered my strengths that I communicate, I lead, and I rope. Those are my areas of strength. I communicate, I lead, and I rope. So when people ask me to do something, if it doesn't have to do with communicating, leading, and roping, I don't do it because that's not where God can use me in full existence. Now, I can fix fence. I can fix windmills. I can work in the oil field. I can sell I can do a lot of different stuff. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. Because God's provision, God's wisdom, and God's energy, and God's strength, and God's endurance, that inner tenacity comes when you locate your strengths and your passions and your desires. And when life knocks you down, it gives you the power to get back up. Because you're in the process of knowing God, and you're in the process of being you. And when you realize that no devil in hell is greater than you. See, the devil, he doesn't keep growing. But you do. The character and nature of God is continually expanding, continually growing. I mean, even scientists prove that they look up all the time and they're finding stuff just growing and expanding and doing this. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one is on the inside of you. Three questions you can write down. Warren Bennis, a man by the name of Warren Bennis, put these questions out, and I just want to share them with you. Say, thank God for the Word. Do you know the difference between what you want and what you're good at? I referred to that a while ago, but I want to read it to you. Do you know the difference between what you want and what you're good at? And I wrote down beside it just an example of, you know, and I was kidding Pastor Dennis a while ago, that I've always enjoyed singing and just worshiping the Lord, especially when I got saved. Man, God has done so much in my life through the presence of God, through worship and through praise. And so I was doing a service when I was first getting in the ministry. I was doing a service, and the music team didn't show up. So I thought, no problem, man. I love to sing. I'll just do the music. Had three songs planned out. I did one, and we went right into the teaching. So I discovered there's a difference between what I would like to do and what I'm good at. So we've got to discover what we're good at and operate in what we're good at. Number two, do you know what drives you and gives you satisfaction? Do you know what drives you and gives you satisfaction? Number three, do you know what your values and priorities are? Do you know what your values and priorities are? Once again, I want to read them. Do you know the difference between what you want and what you're good at? Do you know what drives you and gives you satisfaction? Number three, do you know what your values and priorities are? Because see, when your values and priorities, they work together, it moves you forward. But when your values and your priorities are split, it divides you. Now you have two visions, division. But when you say you value God and God is a priority, it works together to move you forward. When you say you value purpose and your priority is developing your purpose, walking in your purpose, discovering your purpose, it moves you forward. When you say you value family and your priority is family, then it moves you forward. But when I say God is my, I value God, but my priority is God, it divides me. When I say my value is purpose and destiny, but I never do anything to develop the gifts, talents, and purpose, I never do anything to discover what God has called and created me to be, it divides me. Remember Isaiah 45, verses 9 through 13. You can look at it in your own time. But it says, does the creation ask the go to the Creator and tell the Creator what the creation wants to do? But that's what we've done for so long, is we've told God, this is what I want to do. We're told growing up, you can do anything. Yeah, you can do anything and be miserable. But why do anything when you're designed for something specific? Well, how do I discover what I'm created for? By going to the one who created me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. God knew you. Jeremiah 29, 11, not only does God know you, but now God knows the plan and purpose that He has for your life, and it's plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and to give you a future, and it's not for evil and it's not for harm. So if He knows you and He knows the plan, why not go to the one who knows you and knows the plan? Because it doesn't say go to mom and dad and Tom, Dick, and Harry. It says go to God and discover. Discover. It's about being aware. When I'm aware, what I do, I awaken. When I'm aware, I awaken. Don't be like the person on their tombstone that says, died at age 30 but buried at age 60. In other words, they were just existing, living through life. They were getting up, they were going to work just for a paycheck, doing life, but they never truly lived. They were just walking dead people. And so you can go, and I'll encourage you to do this. Go to the bank tomorrow. Go to your work tomorrow. Go to the school tomorrow and look around and see how many people look like they have life. I just don't have any energy. No, it's not. You don't have any passion. I just don't feel like doing it. I don't feel, and we know the Word says we're not moved by how we feel, but we're only moved by the Word. But once you know God and you begin to know yourself, even when you don't feel like it, you still do what you know God has put in your heart to do. And because you're doing what God has created you to do, the feelings come along. But if you follow your feelings will lead you all the way away from God's purpose and will for your life. How aware are you? How awake are you? Number four, why? Why do you want to do what you would like to do? Why do you want to do what's in your heart? Why? Why do you want to be the best in your field? Why do you want to prosper? Why do you want to increase? Why do you want to develop? Why do you want to grow? Why? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, whenever we're in the Word of God is a discerner of the motives and intent of our heart. And when we have the right motives build right relationships. Right motives with God, right motives with people, it builds the right relationships. See, when you have the right motives and you know your why, when things go wrong, that inner motive keeps you headed in the right direction. Why? Why do you want to be healthy? Why do you want to fulfill that dream? Why do you want to develop that gift? Why? First and foremost, through loving God and loving people, you begin to get a heart for people. Why is it important for you to be you? Because other people are counting on you to be you. Why is it important for you to know God and to be you? Because other people's eternal destiny is connected to you developing that gift and developing that talent and developing that dream and developing that passion and developing that purpose. When you get a hold of that, nothing or no devil in hell or no circumstance in life is going to keep you down because you know your why. Why is it important for me to be in church? Because I'm going to hear something different. Therefore, I can think something different. I can believe something different. I can expect something different. And my life begins to be different. And because I'm different in the inside, it's different out here. And it brings people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. And it brings glory to my Heavenly Father. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why? Fifth question. Do you know what to do in order to do what you're created to do? Do you know what to do in order to do what you're created to do? Because it's going to take awareness. Why is it important for me to be aware of God and aware of myself? Because when I'm aware, I'm awake. And when I'm awake, I'm in the process of knowing God. When I'm awake, I'm growing. When I'm growing, it's leading me to my passion. When I'm passionate, it's leading me to my growth. And whenever I'm growing, I'm going and I'm becoming and I'm doing and I'm reaching. See, whenever you're using your gifts and talents to just do what God has called and created you to do, it gives you energy. But when you're using what God has given you to make a difference in people's life, it brings fulfillment. They're significant there. So let me ask you again, do you know what to do in order to do what you're created to do? Because it'll take awareness. Awareness of where I'm at right now. Please think with me, where are you in life right now? Are you aware of the decisions and choices that have led you to where you're at right now? Are you aware of the decisions and choices that will lead you away from your destiny? Are you aware? Because if I don't know where I'm at, I can't change. And one of the first steps in change is being aware. Are you aware of the way you think? Are you aware of what you believe? Are you aware of what's on the inside of you? What's really in you? What can you do? Where can you go? What can you accomplish? How many people can you reach? And as you start to become aware, we're learning something to do, what we're created to do. Once we're aware, then it takes action. Action. Once you're aware of God and you're aware of your gift and talent, then it takes action of doing something on a daily basis to become who God has called and created you to become. What are you doing to develop that dream? What are you doing to develop that gift? What are you doing? See, the word develop means to unfold. What are you doing to unfold, unpack the gift that God has placed on the inside of you on a daily basis? And I can hear some of your thoughts. Well, you don't understand my time. You don't understand all that I have to do, and I've got to take care of my family, and I've got to take care of my family. With God, all things are possible to Him who believes. And you've got to know that God wants what's in you to come out more than you want what's in you to come out. Why? Because He has other people on His mind. So once you start to become aware of God and aware of yourself, take action, say action. Do something every day to step one step closer to your dream. It's a goal I have every day, spirit, soul, and body. What can I do to at least change 1% today? And if I change 1% in the way that I think, and I'm doing something to stay physically sharp at least 1% a day, and I'm learning something new at least 1% a day, and tomorrow I'm growing at least 1% tomorrow, and the next day I'm growing at least 1% tomorrow, this time next year I'm a completely different person. Why? Not because I changed everything at once, but because I was just growing just a little bit each day. Once you become aware and you start taking action, please write that down, awareness, action, then there's accountability. Accountability. Have those people in your life that ask you, how you doing? That you've shared your dream with. Not everybody. Not everybody is worthy of your dream, because there's enough fire. I call them firefighters and fire lighters. There's people that will try to put out your passion. And they walk up and they have a big minus on their forehead, and they are there to tell you why you can. It's not in the budget. You're not gifted. You're not tall enough. You're not handsome enough. You don't have enough money. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. And they try to douse your fire. But then there are fire lighters who let you know what, if God told you that, I believe you can do it. If God put that in your heart, don't let anybody steal your dream. If God's talking to you about that, and you're gifted to do that, and you're graced to do that, and that's your passion, and that's your desire, go for it. I don't know how. I don't know how either, but get started. Get started. Take action. Be accountable. Another thing, accountability. Have you ever tracked what you do with your time? Have you ever tracked the choices that you make? Track your day. And you'll begin to find out what wastes your time. And you'll begin to locate what's productive in your time, because time is the currency of life. What you do with your time determines who you become, where you go, and what you do. How are you using your time? It's the greatest investment that you have is your time. Your time. Well, I just don't have enough time in the day. Every one of us have 86,400 seconds every single day. It just determines. It just what separates people is what they do with their time. So there's accountability. And so as you become aware of God and aware of yourself, and you begin to take action with your vision and your gifts and your purpose and your dreams, and there's accountability, and people are asking how you doing, where you're going, and you're accountable to yourself of what you think and what you're watching, am I changing at least 1% a day, then there becomes attraction. Now you start attracting like-minded people in your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things and being right. His righteousness and everything else will be added. That includes relationships, that includes resources, that includes open doors, it includes connections. All things means all. It don't matter what language you look at, all means all. And so if you become aware and you start taking action and you start being accountable, then you will start attracting like-minded people into your life. You've heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Number 6, do you know people who do what you would like to do? Do you know people who are doing what you would like to do? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, in order to be wise, I must walk with wise people. Why is that? Because, please hear this, every relationship produces an offspring. So if I want to produce wisdom, it says you walk with wise people. If I want to produce dreams, then I must walk with dream people that dream. If I want to walk with people who are growing, I must be growing myself. If I continue looking for people that are thinking bigger than I am, that are doing more than I am, that challenge me, that stretch me. Do you know people who are doing what you were created to do? Now, they're not you, but they're doing in a form or a fashion of what you're created to do. Once again, I communicate, I lead, and I rope. So I'm continually looking for good communicators. I'm continually looking for good leaders. I'm continually looking for good ropers. Why? Because they are doing, they're walking in what I'm created to do. And so I begin to learn a little bit and grow a little bit. Be willing to put your money towards your destiny. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Be willing to pay those people for what they do and who they are in your life, because whenever you make an exchange with resources, you're saying, this is my heart. Be committed. Be creative. Be reflective. And then once you find these people that are doing what you would like to do, then you've got to ask yourself, am I supposed to do it with them? Am I supposed to do it with them? And you begin to learn from books and relationships and CDs. Use what you can to learn what you can. Use what you can to learn what you can. You have so much at your disposal. We have everything we need to grow and become who God has called and created us to be. We have what we need to go to that next level. We have what we need for God to show up and do the miraculous in our life. We have a heart. Let's use it to believe Him. We have a mind. Let's use it to think on the Word of God. We have a mouth. Let's use it to declare the Word of God. We have what we need. Because if you make the choice to grow on purpose, you're going to learn, you're going to grow, you start becoming aware, you start taking action, you start being accountable, the things begin to attract, and God is going to attract people that not only are you just learning through books and video and DVD, but now there's a personal one-on-one relationship of that mentor. And I want you just to jot this down, because some people don't have this understanding. But what do we do when we have the opportunity to be mentored by somebody physically? We have a teachable spirit. The Bible says, those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt them in due time. It says that God gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's supernatural ability on us for us to walk in relationship with Him, but also relationship with one another. Have a teachable spirit. Don't waste their time. Show up with the right questions. You set the agenda by asking questions. You seek to understand. The first law of relationship is seek first to understand, not to be understood. In today's society, a lot of people, they want to get in your presence and they want to tell you everything that they know. I already know what I know. I need to know what you know. So when you find somebody that's going there, that's ahead of you, that they've gone on, they've plowed the ground, don't go in there showing them everything that you know. Go in there learning everything they know. But on the other hand, what is a mentor's job? A mentor's job is to add value and to help us become who we're created to become, not what we're created not to be. A mentor, they focus on choice. They focus on character. They focus on resources. They focus on encouragement. They focus on a plan. They focus on releasing the greatness that God has placed on the inside of you. So you have to ask yourself the question, these people that are ahead of me, whatever your gift, talent, passion is, should I do it with them? Because you want it to be a good fit for you and you want it to be a good fit for them. You with me? Number 8. Say, thank God for the word. Will you pay the price to do what you want to do? Will you pay the price to do what you want to do? And you hear this a lot. And Jesus, He has paid it all. He has paid it all. He has paid the price for all sin. But you know what? There is a price to be paid to release your potential. There's a price of time. There's a price of work. There's a price of effort. There's a price of diligence. If you haven't found what's in your heart, it says be diligent. Those who diligently, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says, those who seek me early and diligently, they shall find me. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those who come to God must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently. Diligence is an energetic application. Proverbs 10, 4 says, the hand of the diligent shall rule. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Why? Because you're diligently pursuing God, you're diligently learning about yourself, you're diligently applying what God has shown you to apply. You're diligent, you're passionate, you're purposeful, you're full of energy, enthusiasm, excitement, and you've got to ask yourself, am I willing to pay the price to be everything that God has called and created me to be? Nobody can make that decision for you but you. Nobody can make the decision to develop the gift, dreams on the inside of me but me. Nobody can know God for me but me. Nobody can develop but for me but me. And nobody can do that for you but you. Here's a poem I want to read to you. It's called Dream Big. If there was ever a time to dare, to make a difference, to embark on something worth doing, it is now. Not for any good cause necessarily, but for something that tugs at your heart. Something that's your aspiration, something that's your dream. You owe it to yourself to make your days here count. Have fun, dig deep, stretch, dream big. Know, though, that the things worth doing seldom come easy. There'll be good days and there'll be not so good days. There'll be times when you want to turn around, pack it up, call it quits. These times are telling you that you're pushing yourself, that you're not afraid to learn by trying. So how about you? Are you the person, are you still dreaming big? Are you the person that's willing to pay the price? Because your dream, it takes work, it takes sacrifice, it takes diligence, it takes passion, it takes energy, it takes enthusiasm. But the sad thing is most people are not willing to pay the price. So when? Next question, when are you going to get to work on your dream? When are you going to get to work on developing that gift? When are you going to get to work on writing that book? When are you going to get to work on fulfilling that vision and your purpose upon this earth? Someday I'll do it. Someday. Someday is not a day of the week. Someday. Why not now? Why not now? Just one step. The footsteps, Psalms 37, verse 23, the footsteps of a righteous person, they're ordered of the Lord. Steps, just start taking a step. James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, when you draw near to Him, what does He do? He comes near to us, right? Just start taking a step. Take a step. Even if you have all this stuff going on, just one step a day. Start taking a step of day. And most people don't get started because they're waiting to get ready. And if you wait to get ready, you'll never get started. Most of the things you accomplished in life, you started before you were actually ready. In the natural, it didn't look like you were ready to get married, but you got started. In the natural, it didn't look like you could do your job, but you got started. A lot of times we want to wait till we get ready, but don't wait till you get ready. Just get started. And once you get started, then you'll become ready. Number 10, what does it look like when you begin to do what you know you're created to do? Because I ask myself this question all the time. If money was no object, what would I be doing? When I get on a plane to go somewhere to speak, when I drive up here to speak, when I'm roping, doing whatever it is, I can honestly say I'm doing it. So what is it like whenever you're doing what God has called and created you to be? Well, it's going to look a lot different than what you thought. When I started going after God with all my heart, I just wanted to know Him, and it's still my heart today. I just want to know Him. I just want to know Him. I want to know Him and be me. But I thought it'd look a lot different. Here I was, a rookie of the year in the PRCA, and I was becoming one of the top elite healers at the time. But then God asked me to lay all that stuff down. It looked a lot different than what I thought, because I thought I would keep just climbing the ladder and keep doing this and the sponsors, the endorsements. And so He had me lay the gift down for almost 9 years. And it looks a lot different because I never thought I was called to pastor. And he said, Trey, I want you to pastor. And the next thing you know, started 7 different churches and helped so oversee a lot of different churches and things like that. It looked a lot different than what I thought it would look like. And whenever He asked me to go back to traveling and ministering and rodeoing again after 9 years of taking off, when everybody else hadn't taken 9 years off to compete at the level I compete at, it looks a lot different than what I thought. But whenever you're doing what you know you're created to do, it's a lot harder than what you thought. But when you do what you know you're created to do, it's more fulfilling than you ever thought. It's more rewarding than you ever thought. It's worth it. It's worth it when you see people's eternal destiny change. It's worth it when one person gets a hold to God with all they know how to get a hold of God. It's worth it when you look back and your kids are lifting their hands, worshiping God. It's worth it whenever you as a family look around and you're praying and you're overcoming and you're kicking the crud out of the devil, putting him right in his place. It's worth it. It's worth it when all hell is broke loose and you're so peaceful on the inside. It is worth it. It is worth it to know God, and it is worth it to be you. Because when we are in the process of knowing God and knowing ourselves, well, then we're growing. When we're in the process of being aware of God and aware of ourselves, we're awakening. Don't leave here as a walking dead person tonight. Let's come alive and let's be who God has called and created us to be. Let's go after God with all of our heart, and let's be everything that God has called and created us to be. Amen. Did you get something out of the Word tonight? Thank you, Lord. Can we give Him praise? Give Him praise like you mean it. And I want to pray over you. Father, I just pray over every individual in this place tonight. Every person that hears by audio, every person that watches. Father, that they're not only aware of You, but they are aware of themselves, what You've placed on the inside of them, that they're aware that You believe in them. They are aware that You are committed to them, that You are aware of watching over Your Word to perform it in their life. You are aware of where they're at and what they're going through, but You are aware of how powerful You are. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that You help us be more aware of our Heavenly Father and more aware of His plan and more aware of His graces and more aware of His gifts and talents that He's placed on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, I ask that You rise up, arise, church, and be everything that we're called and created to be. That there's an awakening, there's a shaking, that there's a hunger, there's a determination, there's a passion to develop everything that God has placed on the inside of us. Now, Father, we love You. We bless You. We honor You. In Jesus' name, Now, hang on one sec. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want you to leave here. If God has been talking to you about taking a step, God is talking to you about developing that dream. If you are willing to make a commitment to God and a commitment to yourself that I am going to develop, would you just slip your hand up in the air and say, I'm going to make a commitment to go to a new level. I'm going to make a commitment to be more aware of God and be more aware of myself. Now, Father, you see these hands raised in this place. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to honor their desire, honor their decision, honor their commitment to be everything that our Heavenly Father has created us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Don't forget product. We have teaching CDs. You can also go to Facebook, Twitter, follow us. I do a daily deal on that. Go to the website, TreyJohnsonMinistries.com. I write a daily devotional on that deal. There's more teaching, more stuff. You can see where we're going, what we're doing. And God bless you guys, and we will see y'all another time. Bye-bye. You're dismissed.